Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, let's head down to Sunrise, Florida, and say good afternoon to Paul Hamilton.
How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, final road trip for this Sabre team, Paul, here. I know that they were hoping maybe that these games would still have meaning. The Panthers are playing for first place. We'll talk about how much maybe they'll be playing for that later on. But for the Sabres, we know now just two more games and then another season comes to a wrap.
Yeah, and, you know, they did well against the Caps, especially in the last two periods for the fan appreciation night. And got a win against a Caps team that, quite honestly, I don't think showed up. They came into the game 1 point out of a playoff spot. Ovechkin and his crew, none of them showed up. I was very surprised at what I saw with the Washington Capitals. And, the Buffalo Sabres did show up and, were able to get out of there with a win. And even got through the first period where maybe they weren't playing as well as they could. The Caps had some good scoring opportunities, but they kept flubbing around with the puck. It would bounce on them. They didn't get luck. It would bounce at the last second, and then Buffalo wound up getting the first goal, if you remember, Benson with the tip in late in the period. So, it's going to be, the Sabres, okay, they've played one game since they've been eliminated. It was a good one, but it's going to be a little different tonight to play a good game. I guess I can call it tonight with a 5 o'clock start. They're 1-9 in their last 10 games against Florida, 2-7-1 here in this building. And Florida has the best goals against in the National Hockey League and have shutouts in 3 of their last 4 games. And you know how the Sabres have trouble scoring goals in a lot of games that they play. So, that could wind up being a problem. And, it's I'm not predicting it, but if the Sabres were to be shut out in this game, I certainly would not leave here surprised.
Yeah, I guess the other night against Washington, I was more surprised with how kind of just little spunk the Capitals had. I thought the Sabres handled it pretty well in a night where it was really their first official night, Paul, that they had nothing to play for in terms of the standings. And Washington had everything to play for, and now they're kind of on the outside looking in. They obviously still can make the playoffs, but Pittsburgh is in a better spot, and now they're tied going in here with some others as well.
Yeah, the Islanders only could get 1 point in the shootout against the Rangers. And we were actually watching that game here where the Rangers, Panarin tied it up, and then they went to a shootout. And the Rangers won in the shootout, scored twice, and the Islanders didn't score. So that gave the Islanders 1 point, which will help, but I'm sure they would have loved two.
I agree. Paul Hamilton in Florida, Brian Colziel here. All right, before we're going to hear from Kyle Loposo and Don Granato, we want to kind of go through a season review here. The final pregame show for Paul and I here. Obviously, Monday they will still play again, but Chopin the Bulldog on that pregame. Paul and I always love doing a little season in review topic. And for a year that obviously is a huge disappointment, since Paul and I are such positive analysts, we are going to start with the positives. And Paul, I think we should start in goal with numero uno, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen this year. For me, he's the Sabres MVP.
Yes, he is. And it's not just like he was pretty good in the beginning of the year. He wasn't quite as good as he is now when he finally got the opportunity to play due to injuries. I mean, he wasn't even dressed in the first 4 games. And, he was number 3 on the depth chart. And, because of injuries, he wound up in net. And he didn't take over the number 1 position until sometime in December, probably. where it might have even been in January, where he finally got the number one position. But now he's played in 34 out of the last 39 games, which is basically the games in 2024, past January 1st. He's only missed five games in there. And, you know, I talked to you about, you know, how Florida has a good goals against. Well, because of Lukanen and the defense playing better, the Sabres are 12th overall in the NHL in goals against with a 2.98. So that has been increasingly getting better as the year goes on. That wasn't great either for a long time. And as Lukanen started really playing well, you know, that started going. And I wonder now if he winds up on Team Finland in the World Championships. I would assume that they would want him. And if he would want to play, I would imagine he would be Finland's goaltender moving on. So his season might not be over yet. I read that Tage Thompson is probably going to be playing with Team USA. So his season probably isn't over yet. And you know what? Tage Thompson, overall, probably you would say it as a disappointing season. But at least lately, he has been better. In his last 16 games, he has 21 points. That's a pace for 43 goals and 39 assists for 82 points. Last year, he had 47 goals and 94 points. So it's not hugely under what last year was. 43-goal season, I think anybody would take that from Tage Thompson. Maybe I got too carried away last year when I said I think Tage Thompson would be a 50-goal scorer. But once again, he's showing us again in a last pretty good group of games here, probably a quarter of the season, almost a quarter of the season, he's on a 43-goal pace. So maybe that's where he's going to fall in his career. When he's playing well and on his game, maybe you can expect 40 to 45 goals from Tage Thompson and not necessarily a 50-goal guy.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think Thompson, you know, if he's in that 35 to 40 range, seems like a very reasonable number to be at. A line made of him, at least for the last month or so of the season, has been J.J. Paterka, as we kind of keep thinking about things that went well this year. When we talk about the forwards, I think Paterka is at the top of the list.
Yeah, and I think if Don Granato is back next year, J.J. Paterka will stay on that line. I don't think Jeff Skinner is any longer a part of the Tuck and Thompson line. It never really worked. Granato let it go longer than probably he should have. And by the time he put Paterka up there, I think it's clicked well. And I would say that's a good top line for the team moving forward. A youngster like Paterka who still has the opportunity to score 30 goals. This is goofy. As you mentioned, the Sabres' last game is Monday. The last games for the NHL are Thursday. I mean, the Sabres end like three or four days before the season ends, which is goofy. But, you know, the Sabres have had more games played than almost everybody in the NHL for most of the season because we were always talking about the teams ahead of them having games in hand throughout the whole year. So that's kind of a goofy way to schedule games, but that's the way they did it. I mean, Sabre players are going to be – I mean, Rasmus Dahlin will be back in Sweden by the time the season ends. And it's just goofy the way they did it.
Paul Hamilton, Brian Kulzeal here. Sabres pregame with Buffalo and Florida coming up just after 5 o'clock. We're doing a season in review and talking to some of the things that went well for the Sabres. Paul, how about one more forward to talk about? Zach Benson, the 18-year-old, clearly exceeding expectations. Who even knew going into training camp that he would essentially be here the entire season and had some really nice times that he contributed?
Absolutely, and he's the smallest guy on the team, but yet he might be the guttiest. You know, he gets in front of the net. He doesn't care if you knock him down. He'll get back up again. He gets into battles. He wins battles. He protects the puck. He doesn't care if you knock him down to his knees. That's fine. He'll protect the puck from his knees if he has to. And, you know, I still think he can be a goal scorer in the NHL. You know, he did get to double figures. That goal he scored the other night was his 10th. And, you know, he's always been a huge goal scorer in every league he's been in. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a big goal scorer in the NHL. But I think once he gets bigger and stronger, grows into his body a little bit, I'd be surprised if he isn't a guy who can score. I'm not going to say how many. I need to see more of Zach Benson as he does get more mature to try to figure out how many goals he might be able to score in this league. But definitely, I think, solidified himself. There was really, even though as Don Granato likes to call it. He hit a wall at times during the year, once or twice, but it wasn't long. Most players do hit a wall at some point during the season. And even when he had hit the wall, I didn't say to myself, they got to get him out of here. They got to send him back to junior. This isn't working. You know, it was still okay. It wasn't as good as it had been, but it was still okay. And there were some fans that had a problem with him there because he's so small and he doesn't hit and he doesn't fight and all the rest of that, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, that's not his game. And I never said to myself, you know what, he shouldn't be here. I think he earned his way here and he earned his right to stay here.
One final positive player I want to talk about, Paul, is maybe a guy that we should have been talking about more, but maybe it's a compliment. It's kind of like the defensive back in football or the offensive lineman. If you don't talk about him that much, that must mean he's not getting beat or that he's doing his job. And that's Henry Yokiharju.
Yeah, he has really improved his game this year by a lot. This, by far, has been his best season, in my estimation. And I remember talking to him last year at locker cleanout, and he said, I got to be more consistent. Because we would talk about him saying, you know, there are times he looks like a top four defenseman, and there are times he looks lost. And the thing that he improved on this year was his start. This is the first time he's had a good start to the season. It's always October and November, he's awful. And then he starts rounding into form, and by the time Christmas rolls around, he's playing really good hockey. Well, you can't wait for 2 months to get going. And it seemed like that was happening every year, and he didn't wait for 2 months to get going this year. For the most part, he has had a really good season. And, you know, I'll be interested to see where he will fit in if he winds up back here next year. I mean, he's right now he's playing with Bo Byram on the second pair. Samuelson hasn't been around in a while. Samuelson has always been a top four defenseman. So does Yokiharju go down to the third pair, you know, and Samuelson slides back into the top four? Or has Yokiharju improved enough where they like him in the top four and slide Samuelson back down to the, you know, the bottom three defense? So either one of them, should he wind up in the bottom pair, I think we'll be better for it. I think the Sabres will be better for it because they both are capable of being on the second pair defense. And if you put one or the other down there with Clifton, I think you've got an excellent third pair.
Paul Hamilton here with me, Brian Colziel, Sabres pregame show, as we are doing a season in review. We talked about some of the things that went well. Okay, Paul, let's unfortunately talk about some of the things that didn't go well. Let's start with, well, the start of games. First period woes were a headline for this team. One of the worst in the NHL in goals against and goal differential. Paul, this team, as Don Granato, I'll use his word, was chasing quite a bit this year because of their first period and poor starts.
Yeah, and then they were a great third period team, but a lot of the time they're chasing, and the other team in some cases were basically had already boarded the bus. They were just like hanging back and protecting their 3 or 4 goal lead. And trying to get out of there with their 2 points. So the Sabres used to roll up or roll up a lot of points in the third period, a lot of goals. But the first period was just, and it got better as the season went on, but it wasn't great. It would still, you know, rear its ugly head, you know, and, you know, the Ottawa game recently. I mean, here you are. I mean, you're out of the game by the first period. In New Jersey earlier this year, it's 4-0 at the end of the first period. You're not coming back from that. I suppose on the odd time, once every 5 years, you might come back from that. But for the most part, you're not coming back from that. And even when you get down 2 goals, it's difficult. It's not impossible. You still have 40 minutes to get back. Or, you know, very often they would get down 3 goals. And they're sitting there at 3-1 or 3-0. And it just, you know, it just really, it deflates you, number one. It gets the fans on you, number two. And there's just nothing other than dread when that happens. And there's just too many times that happened. And the motivation has to come from within the players. You have to have motivation to compete. when compete is the reason that you're not playing well, that is totally on the players. That has to come from your stomach. That has to come from your heart. Why are you in the NHL if you need a coach to kick you in the butt to compete? Now, the other part of, yeah, you're down 3-0. What were your preparations like? Is the game plan right? Do you have the right game plan? Those types of things, you can look at coaching that way too. But if you can't get yourself ready to play in the National, this is the National Hockey League. This isn't street hockey. This isn't a high school game. And if you need a coach to kick you in the butt to get you going, then you shouldn't be out there. You shouldn't be on the team. And that's one of the things that Kevin Adams has to look at too this summer. He has to identify those players that consistently maybe were not ready to play, or the effort wasn't there, or they didn't compete. He has to identify those players, and I don't care who they are. Get them out of here. You cannot win when you have players that don't compete.
Paul, as we go from the first period woes, we could also talk about, yes, they finished strong, but because of maybe the hole that they put themselves in quite often, they had so many nights where we sat there and say, oh, if they could have just found that one extra goal, how many posts did they hit? How many power plays did they not convert on? And the loser point discussion has been definitely a storyline for the Sabres this year. They have almost, on average, if you look at the teams in this wild card race with the Sabres in the East, almost a double digit difference in terms of point differential. The Islanders have double digit more, as you know, do other teams here. They could not figure out at certain nights just find a way to get that game tying goal when they needed it that ultimately would have given them more points in the standings.
Yeah, I've never seen a team that hits as many posts as this team does. Never. I don't think there's a stat out there that can tell you who leads the league in posts. I'd be shocked if it wasn't the Buffalo Sabres. Absolutely shocked. They ring posts constantly. And if they're not ringing the post, the puck's over the net. And that's on the players. I mean, you have to start. If you're consistently missing the net and shooting over the net, you have to stay after practice and be working on your shot because something's not right here. And there was too much of that also. Too many times where they had golden opportunities and the puck was over the net or wide. In the Sabres' case, it was over the net a lot, more than wide. And I just would shake my head at times thinking, man, you can't miss that. And it's everybody. It's Tuck. It's Thompson. It's Paterka. It's Cousins. It's Skinner. It's your top scoring guys that are doing that. And that's one of the many reasons, which we'll hit on in a moment, of why this team had trouble scoring goals this year, because of the posts and the nets that they missed.
Yep, I would agree. And we know there's definitely some of the forwards that hit posts, it seemed like, all the time, and some that miss the net all the time. Let's go there, Paul, as we talk about some of the forwards that really took a step backwards this year. I mean, there's unfortunately a long list I know the Sabres have of this year, but I guess I'll go ahead and start with a couple of names. Dylan Cousins, in particular, was a guy that I feel like either missed the net quite often or regressed in terms of his goal production. I guess maybe even let's just start with him solely, Paul, because we know he takes it as hard as anybody. He's one of those heart and soul players on this team. I know that just from hearing him the other night when you spoke with him after that Washington game, he is really, really down on himself, but doesn't seem, though, like he's quitting, though, on it.
He'll never quit, I'll tell you that. I mean, this is a guy that empty netter was his 16th goal of the year, but he had 31 goals last year, so he has just about half the goals he had last year. And he just wears it on his sleeve. He's extremely upset. He feels that he and this team have let the city down. They've let the fans down. They've let themselves down. They've let their teammates down. They've let the coaching staff down. They've let everybody down. He talked about that the other night. He said that. And you can just tell in his voice how down he is on it. And that's the thing. He gets so upset because he wants to do so well that it starts affecting his play. And I think it did affect his play a lot this year. I'm not totally, as a speaking from a person who's had three major concussions and had to quit even beer league hockey, but I couldn't play hockey in any level anymore because of it. I am just not convinced he wasn't cloudy for a lot of this year after he got tagged in that fight against Haggerty. I'm just not totally convinced that. And Dylan, I'm not accusing him of anything. I won't say Dylan. There are players in all sports that don't tell trainers all the facts of what's going on because they don't want to leave the lineup. Did Dylan do that? I have no idea. The only one who knows that is Dylan. I'm not accusing him of it. I don't know. But I it wouldn't shock me if he played a lot of this season cloudy where it just wasn't there because, you know, you see him on the power play and it was like he wasn't moving fast enough. He wasn't getting pucks fast enough and he'd go to pass but he'd see the crease, but by the time he actually made the pass the crease was gone and it just seemed like everything was just a little bit slower. And so it's just something I wonder, and it's something we'll never know. I'll never know.
Yep.
But I just wonder, as a person who had major concussions, if that, and because I know what that cloud is, I know exactly what it is, and I just wonder if that kind of stayed with him a lot this year.
Paul, as we keep talking about the forwards here and regressing, I know, you know, Tuck started slow, but he did pick it up. Thompson started slow, picked it up. You mentioned him. Paterka, we know, a bonus. But when we look specifically at the bottom six set of players there, the offense really, really disappointed down the stretch. And, in fact, when the Sabres got themselves kind of somewhat back in it, they got so little contribution from those bottom six here. I know that you are really open to almost replacing all six of them if needed.
Absolutely. And, you know, the positive one was J.J. Paterka, went from 12 goals to 28 goals. But I'll just go in order here. You know, Tuck goes from 36 goals to 22. Thompson goes from 47 to 29. Olsson goes from 28 to 7. Skinner goes from 35 to 24. Cousins, we already said. Quinn got injured. Krebs goes from 9 to 4. So that just gives you an idea right there. The only one that really didn't regress is J.J. Paterka. I mean, we can't really put Jack Quinn in there. He only played 25 games. So
right.
We don't know where Jack Quinn would have wound up as far as that goes. But that's a lot of your lineup. Now, the next question I know is going to be why. Well, I think it's fairly easy because you have one of the worst power plays in the National Hockey League. Last year, Tage Thompson had over 20 power play goals alone. You know, and when you're not scoring on the power play, well, you know, you're going to be down in goals. And all those players except for Krebs that I just spoke of are power play players, or should be power play players in Olsson's case, but he just was doing so poorly you couldn't keep him out there. So when your power play is one of the worst in the league after being around first, second, or third for most of the league, I think it wound up eighth or ninth because it did suffer at the end of the year, but for a lot of the year, you were in the top three. That's a lot of goals you're missing.
Paul, let's talk a little bit about the home record. That was something that haunted the team through most of the year. We will say they did finish very well at home. They finished 9-3 in their last 12. But ultimately, still, I think overall, I'm still going to put that in the category that they need to improve. Now, maybe they did figure it out here with these last dozen games. 12 is a decent sample size, but I still think their home record has to be better if they're going to be a playoff team next year when you look at the entire season.
And you know what? Kyle Poso has said to me many years, and he warned this team beginning of this year, too, but they didn't listen. They kind of thought they were just going to pick up where they left off last year. And he kept saying it during training camp. That's not the way this works. We're starting at zero. We're not starting at what we were at last year. And he was absolutely right. And, you know, that the thing is, yes, they've done better at home lately, or 21-19-1, which still isn't good enough, but it's better than they've been in a while. They were, for most of the season, until those 12 games rolled around, right where they were basically last year, around 27th in the league. No. And that's not that just it's not going to work for you if you're going to be a championship team. And they have to be better at home. But trying to pick up where they left off, you can't do that. because if they don't have a different team in many aspects, Kevin Adams probably isn't going to be here anyway. But still, you just can't look at that. You know, we won 7 of our last 9 and 9 out of our last 12 and did really good at home at the end, so we're just going to pick up where we left off. But no, it's a brand new season, and you got to figure out how to play at home all over again.
Paul Hamilton here with me, Brian Colziel. Sabres pregame with Buffalo and Florida. Game 81 to 82 will be Monday in Tampa. We're going to hear from Kyle Aposto coming up shortly. Also, Don Granato. Just a couple of more topics here on our season in review discussion. Paul, next year we look ahead. What could be different? What could be the same? Let's talk about maybe the leadership. You mentioned Aposto. He, of course, was the captain this year. Who's the captain of this team next season?
I don't think it's any question. It's Rasmus Dahlin. As you heard on the pregame show last game, I asked him point blank, do you feel with the maturity that you've gained, you're at a point now in your career where you're ready to be captain of the Buffalo Sabres? And he said 100%, absolutely. He did say there's still some things to learn, but he's ready for it. Should he be asked? I mean, he's not taking it for granted. He did say, should he be asked? And I ask him the same thing. If they want you to be captain or ask you to be captain, do you feel you're ready? So it was, the question was framed in the same way also. So I think Rasmus Dahlin is your captain. I think Gergensen's will wear another A. I would guess Alex Tuch would probably get the other one. You know, he's a guy that on occasion, for whatever reason, Granato doesn't want to stick an A on somebody with Aposto gone. He basically just lets Gergensen's and Dahlin. Usually when your captain's not around, you have a third A out there. I think Tuch might have worn it once when there was three A's. I don't know why he doesn't want to do that. He has his reasons. But I would think Tuch would be the guy. You could put it on Thompson if you wanted to. If you just feel Tuck's going to be a leader, whether you have an A on his sweater or not, you could put it on Cousins, you know, that if you wanted to. Right now, I think Dylan Cousins is just so wrapped up in trying to get his game back to where it was. I don't know if it would be fair to put an A or a C on his sweater yet. So, you know, Alex Tuch, I think, would be the guy I would think of.
Paul, we're out of time here because of all of our interviews, but I want to finish with Don Granato. We know Kevin Adams will have a decision here upcoming if he maybe hasn't made it already. I'm not asking you what the Sabres should do. My question to you is, what do you think Kevin Adams will do with Don Granato?
I think the wild card is Terry Pegula. If it's up to Kevin Adams, Don Granato, I feel, will be coaching here next year. I don't think Kevin Adams feels that Don Granato should be fired. And he gave his reasons in an interview with The Athletic. But if Terry Pegula says he should be fired, then he's going to be fired. So Terry Pegula was here for the two home games after the Toronto Leaf game, Maple Leaf game. And I'm sure there were discussions between Adams and Terry Pegula while he was here. Now, Terry Pegula also had to deal with Stephon Diggs trade, you know, with the Bills, so it wasn't all just hanging out with Kevin Adams. But I'm sure it was discussed then. I don't know if the solution was discussed then, or if that's going to be, you know, how they all go down to Fort Lauderdale after the season and hang out at the Pegulas and do their end of the season meetings down there, since the Pegulas no longer live in Western New York, so they've been doing it down there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do with that and what Terry Pegula's decision will be.
Paul, really enjoyable conversation on the season. Appreciate it. We're going to hear from Kyle Aposto, Don Granato, and we'll bring you back at about 4:50 as you watch warm-ups here. We'll get your lineup news and keys to the game.
Sounds good. Yeah, it was fun, and we will talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.